This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Hightaylor with Sportsline.
And good morning, everyone. It's Sportsline on a Saturday morning live from inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito. Hello, everybody. This is Ty Taylor. Jim Taylor is alongside. Wind chills of 15 below zero, but we are still here ready for Sportsline on January the 24th of 2026. One day ahead of your birthday, so let me be the first to say happy early birthday.
Thank you. I got a Blackstone grill delivered to my house yesterday from my kids and my son-in-law, so thank you very much. I meant to send out a thank you text today, and then tomorrow.
You're welcome, I'm sure, on behalf of everybody else.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody's going to be bored when I say this, but then we're having birthday dinner at the Candlelight Inn along the Mississippi River in Clinton, Iowa. So that's what I'm doing this weekend, but first, it's a sports line. And I guess, like, it's all about school district superintendents here over the last 24 to 48 hours to figure out what games are going to be played, what games are not going to be played. Do you have school? And I know we were talking a little bit off the air. I'm not saying this is an old man rant, but to me, it's just
probably,
like,
if you have to give that disclaimer, yeah. it normally is.
But it's so confusing. It's like, if school is canceled, to me, my opinion is everything should be canceled. But that's just me, because it's such a confusion, because all schools do it differently. So is this tournament going on? Is this game going on? Those people are paid more than me, and they're smarter than me, I guess. So,
yeah, I think it's different. I mean, I don't have a problem with them having events if there's not school, just because I know with, like, the cancellation of school, a lot of it, I would assume, has to do with kids, like, waiting to be picked up for the bus at, like, whatever time when it's 30 below zero. There's not as much danger, I guess. It is a little bit, I guess, you don't want, like, a bus to break down the way to wherever. Yes. In the evening, of course, with, like, the basketball team on the bus. And there were a handful of, I know, like, at the wrestling meet that, or the wrestling tournament Orion's hosting, the Bob Benton Invite, there were a handful of schools who backed out. That event is still going on. It's not at its full, like, capacity of competitors and teams competing, because, like I said, there were a handful of teams that didn't make the trip last night into today with that. But yeah, we had a game on the air last night with Mercer County and Orion in Alito and boys basketball. It was a kind of a weird type of game, just because the pep band wasn't there for Mercer County. Their cheerleaders weren't there. Orion brought four cheerleaders. Four. Well, they normally have more than that. So I don't know if it was something where, like, they said, all right, well, if you want to come, you can come and get on the bus. So it wasn't a great crowd, like, not one of those typical, like, conference Friday night crowds. So the game had kind of a weird feel to it. And it was a really, like, slow-paced, kind of plodding game for most of the night, too, that Orion won 50-42. So they're now 18-6. 5-1 in the conference, one game behind Sherrard. They, of course, will play next Friday. Mercer County 10-10 overall, 3-3 in the conference. Kyler Owens had 29-20 in the second half. I'm really going to miss watching him play at Orion High School. He is one heck of a player and really fun to watch when he gets going like he did, especially in the third quarter last night.
And that was the third
sample size between Mercer County and Orion. Did you notice? So the first was the first game or the second game was 43-point differential. Did you notice
56-40, 82-39, and then 50-42?
Did you see, or is this a weird game last night, or is Mercer County truly like closing the gap, you think?
I think more so the game that was 82-39 was an anomaly, because Orion, like, everything that could have possibly gone right that night went right. And Mercer County, and I said this a couple weeks ago, had like a horrific night where everything for them went wrong. I think Orion made 11 or 12 threes off the top of my head. Mercer County turned it over 20 times, and like Cale Filler made 5 threes. He averages around 5 points a game. He had 17 that night. So it was just one of those nights where they were unconscious and defensively really ramped up the pressure and sped Mercer County up. I think the difference last night for Mercer County being able to hang around was that they really, although Mercer County was, you could tell a lot of their kids were still sick and not at 100%, they did a good job of controlling the pace. They had some really lengthy offensive possessions. They didn't always score on them, but like, I mean, they would take a minute plus off the clock. And Orion didn't really get to go up and down the floor very often. I think Mercer County only turned over like 7 or 8 times last night too, so there weren't really those run out chances for Orion to score quickly like that either, really. But I think the differential, you know, the other two games that were played that were like a 16 and 8 point differential, that's more so I think about how much better Orion is than Mercer County, somewhere between like 8 and 15 points. Like I said, I think the 43-point game was an anomaly, and that wouldn't happen again or very often if those teams played like 10 times. I don't think there would be another game that was, you know, more than like a 20-point differential, really. But Orion definitely is the better team, and Kyler Owens, he's, you know, in a vast majority of the games he plays, the best player on the floor, and that was the case last night. Now, Orion did play without their point guard, Finley Boyd, who's a junior. He was out sick. So they weren't at full strength either, but it was a nice win for them. They're still looking, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, for like a truly marquee win, and they'll have a chance to get that, you know, this coming Friday at home against Sherrard. They'll try to knot up the conference race. That will be a fun environment for sure on Friday night.
Yeah, that's a huge measuring stick for Orion late in the season to beat a quality opponent. We kind of buried the lead because our guest on the program today
is
Aaron Britton-Nesta of Hoop. So he gets into a lot of the 1A, 2A basketball around the state, you know, some of the teams to look at, and, you know, kind of a, you know, not a, maybe a clear-cut favorite, at least in 2A, maybe a little more so in 1A, but he'll talk all about that when we have him on the airwaves.
Yeah, so we can talk a little bit more about some of the results this week in a moment, but how great is it to get to have Aaron Britton-Nesta Hoops on the air with us? This is, I think, the third or fourth straight year we've had him on, and he just is such a great dude to get to know and talk to. But really, and we'll talk about this when we talk to him too, but like the amount of work he does for, you know, high school basketball and for interscholastic athletics is just amazing, really. Like the amount of time he puts into that, and it just is like a passion project. It's a hobby. I want to tell him all the time, like, dude, you need to sell sponsorships for this because the amount of people who follow him, and like, that's the thing we get into too, is he's, yes, one person putting out like state rankings, but he's extremely knowledgeable and people care about what, you know, he says or where he ranks teams. And I think that tells you that he does a good job if people care. If people get upset about like something you do or say, it means they are listening, right? And it means that they care what your opinion is. So I just can't say enough, you know, great things about the work that Aaron Britton-Nesta Hoops does. And like I said, it's been fantastic to get to know him over the past couple of years. I love to run into him because he's always like, and he's a great follow on social media too, because some of the really strange places he ends up going to, you know, just on like a random Wednesday, it's like, oh, there he is in wherever, you know. And I that's the thing that's so cool with him too, is kind of hearing some of the stories about the places he goes, the people he runs into. It just is an interesting life he lives, you know.
Well, and the other thing I love about him, he's so meticulous with like his Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. So like if you're involved in a business and you have a question about Microsoft Excel, I know a guy named Nesta Hoops. But, you know, when I think about kind of his story, I think we were the first media entity to reach out and interview him.
Yeah, I think we might have been. Yeah.
We were the first.
That was like 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and the great story about, I love about him is he really makes a concerted effort to cover all parts of the state. The geography of the state is so impressive, and especially with a sport like basketball where every member school has a basketball team. You know, in football, you have 500 of the 800-some-odd member schools that play. He covers, you know, all basketball teams, and you said, you know, even his spreadsheets have what did you say, five of the winless teams?
There's like seven or eight of them, yeah.
So, I mean, he gets the information of all those schools, to me, is mind-boggling. And I know at the end of our interview when we talked to him yesterday, the stories he could tell about just travel, you know, when you go into different towns and meet people, that's beyond basketball, where you could tell a completely separate story. But, yeah, it's a labor of love. He loves the game. And where would the sport kind of be without him? And you need people like that. And it's amazing, you know, the non-traditional forms of media that have, I think, really saved, you know, the information dissemination in interscholastic athletics since we've lost, you know, the majority of print journalism that covered the daily beat. So thank goodness for guys like him.
Yeah, and speaking about Aaron, now if you haven't heard of him somehow, how you can follow him is at Nesto Hoops on X. That's N-E-S-T-O Hoops, H-O-O-P-S. That's his username. And then nestohoops.com is the website. There's then a link to click on his spreadsheet. And from there, if you've never viewed it, basically, it's an Excel spreadsheet like my dad was describing, and he has top 25 state rankings for 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, and he also does a top 25 of teams in the Chicagoland area, and then south of I-80 is what he calls it, which is just kind of the schools in the southern portion of the state. And he's got like up to date, you know, rankings, records. He has the schedule and results of every single team in the state. There's a list of gymnasiums he has. He has, I think he counts, it's like maybe his top 100 gyms that he's been to. He ranks those as well. And then there's one thing that I really like on his sheet. It's the old conferences, which if you click on that, you can go through all of like the now defunct conferences, and there's conference champions every year of all those. So the research, and I can't imagine the amount of people he's had to reach out to get all of that information over the years, is just fantastic. And it's something that if you enjoy like high school basketball, you should get on there and just view it. I mean, you can go down like rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole, really, but it's such a great resource for anyone who follows the sport, anyone who plays in the sport, anyone who enjoys it too. I can't endorse the work that he does enough, so really excited to have him on the air coming up. And one thing, and we'll get back into kind of some of the local stuff this week in a moment, but he was telling us off the air yesterday before we started recording, and this is like just the type of work that he does. He's like, yeah, I forget where he said he was going, but he's like, he was going to go somewhere that was like a 5.5-hour trip one way, like either last night or today. But with the snow in that part of the state, he's like, I'm going to actually not decide on doing that. But that's just amazing. Like the amount of travel time he takes. And we always tell the story too, which is so great. Is he, one of his like travel buddies that he goes around with is the former St. Louis Cardinals official scorekeeper.
A long time.
Which is amazing.
Well, that's when we, the story, and I know we've,
that's like the best way to describe how he does stuff is, so he's also friends with a former Cardinals scorekeeper.
So the one day, it was like maybe a couple of state tournaments ago, we were there and he was sitting by a gentleman that was older than him. And I said, well, is that your dad traveling with you? And he looked at the guy and he's, and the guy's like, har, 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 no.
Yeah, everybody always asks him that.
Yeah, and he goes, no, this is so-and-so. And then he's like, do you know, he used to be the official scorer for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so he this guy moved from the Metro East or the Metro St. Louis area up to Northwest Illinois. And that's the other interesting, I think, storyline about Nesto is he was from the deep south, southern
He's
Illinois.
He's a Mounds Meridian grad.
Yeah. And now he lives, and I'm not going to name the town, but he lives in the northwestern portion of the state. So I think his lens is pretty important too, because he lived in deep southern Illinois and now lives in the northwestern portion of the state. So I think he has a flavor. But yeah, that's the great story. So I remember that day. I'm like, I don't think he's telling me the truth. And I do the Google search of the guy's name, and lo and behold, there's that guy's name quoted in like an Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals story about some kind of scoring controversy. Yeah. And I told my dad, my dad needs to meet this
literally,
guy.
He really does. He really does. That would be fantastic. So looking forward to the conversation with Aaron Britton coming up here a bit later on in the program. So I think one of the bigger results we had on the air this week was back on Monday on Martin Luther King Jr. Day at the Brickhouse Shootout at Wharton Fieldhouse. Sherrard picked up a really nice win in boys basketball, beating Dunlap 57-53. Dunlap is a team who has a win over Rock Island from January 6th, 69-66. And then they also, the Friday before that, they played Sherrard, beat Metamora on the road, who was at the time ranked number 10 in 3A boys basketball. And that win for them, Dunlap beat Metamora in double overtime by 1 point, ended a 50-50 game winning streak at home for Metamora that dated back to like 2021, I think. So while Dunlap, I think, is something like 8-11 or 8-12 at this point, that's a kind of a deceiving record with how they play in the Mid-Illini, which is traditionally the top 3A conference in the state. I mean, that's a really nice win for them. And Sherrard also beat another Mid-Illini team, Limestone, last Saturday. So they've done a nice job. Haven't played since then, as their game last night against Rock Ridge was postponed to Tuesday. But those were a couple of really nice wins for them off of that win over Mercer County that we talked about last Friday.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we said earlier in the year with what graduated from Sherrard High School, that the storyline of the season of them being much different at the end of the season than the beginning of the season, just because of what they lost last year, and then redefining some of the roles. And they, you know, from start to, you know, progressing through the season, you know, you've seen them a bunch, much different team than from late November to now. And then a tip of the cap to Alex Johnson and his staff for saying, we're putting a schedule together and we want to play good teams.
Yeah, their schedule, if you look at it, is, I mean, like, really, I said this on the air, I think, last week, but outside of like Galva, and Galva's, I think, 15-6 or something like that now. But that was really like the only game that you looked at coming to the year. You're like, okay, that team is a team that they should beat pretty easily, you know. But outside of that, like, really the rest of their schedule, and they play Allman coming up, but they're much better than they have been in the last couple of years. But really, like, they haven't had very many games, if any, that you walk in saying this is a game that I'm not interested in because they're not going to be tested at all, which is impressive, especially like you said, with the amount of production they lost from a year ago, because people forget with as good of a year as they've had this year, you know, 15-4 and 5-0 in the conference. Like, they had two kids returning that played really any meaningful minutes for them at all last year with Carter Brown and Ryder Brown. Now, they're great players, and having two really good lead guards is great, and anybody will take that, of course. But there was a lot of question marks, at least from the outside, I think, from my perspective, about what they were really going to look like outside of those two. And they have a nice rotation of seven or eight pieces, really eight now, that all do a really good job in their roles, I think. And yeah, I mean, they still have some tests coming up, and they'll play Rock Ridge Tuesday, Orion Friday. They picked up a game against Downers Grove North at a shootout at UT, which is a really kind of unique matchup for them. So, yeah, I mean, it just has become kind of one of those things that they do. Their schedule is challenging, and they get a wide variety of teams and styles they get to play. And, like, watching that game against Dunlap on Monday, I mean, that was a physical game. I mean, physical, up and down the floor. Both teams would press in the full court at times. And, like, it was just, and Coach Johnson said it on the post game, it was officiated like a 3A, 4A game, where it was, you know, they're not blowing the whistle unless you really, really get fouled. And that, I think they had to, Sherrard did adjust to that, because their games aren't, you know, officiated like that at the small school level very often. So their kids did a great job, you know, handling the ball, being strong with the ball, and like we saw last year, we know if you want to go on a deep postseason run right now in this area, if you're a 2A team, you know who you're probably going to have to play is Manuel, and that's the type of defense they play. So I know Sherrard's played them the last 2 years, and there's potential they could maybe run into them if they're able to get to the sectional again this year. That's what you got to be able to handle when you play them.
Well, and then just thinking about them, you know, the scoring they had to pick up last year, and I know here, especially the last, what, 3 or 4 weeks, the Veranda kid has really picked up the scoring for them, at least from the perimeter. You know, we've seen the headlines.
Yeah, he's a really good player, yeah. And Brown is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they've got two really high-level scorers, and then Brylon Bender and Nolan Klein, who's a freshman. We've talked about him on the show before. I mean, they're both – they have four kids that average in double figures. They have four kids that can – score 20 points on any given night. A lot of teams don't have that. I mean, we haven't had a team like that very often, you know. I mean, Sherrard maybe last year with Brown, Veranda, and then Carton and Blackwell too. But, like, having four kids who could potentially score 20 points on any given night is a – I mean, that's quite a luxury to have.
Well, and then if you look at the Brylon Bender, how many teams would he have been – able to play for and contribute at a varsity level a lot last year?
Well, and I think
if he wasn't behind Blackwell and,
right.
and Carton.
If he too, though, like, because he had the really bad leg injury his freshman year playing at the JV level, I think too, like, that was something where they didn't want to really have him play a game and then play another game later. So I think maybe if he doesn't get hurt his freshman year, there's potential he plays, you know, more minutes for them last year. But, like, that was such a great group they had, and it probably, you know, maybe even served him better to get the full, you know, JV experience playing basically the role he had last year at that level, developing, you know, basically for the full season coming back from that injury. But you're right, he is a very good player, great rebounder, great scorer around the rim, and has a pretty nice touch too. So yeah, I'm excited for that game Friday. Them and Orion should be a lot of fun, but we get to see the Rockets come to Harry Hunt Gym on Tuesday. Oh, that's always a fun matchup. I know Rock Ridge has been struggling this season, but I think there's always interest when those two teams play each other.
And the reason the game was postponed last night, there was some kind of mechanical issue. Is that right?
Yeah, there was an issue with the heat in the gym. And when it's 30 below zero, it's not a good day to have a mechanical issue with the heating in the gym.
No. And, again, I asked it last week, and I still say there is the opportunity because I've seen basketball long enough, even though you're having a really struggle in the regular season, it takes just one, and something can go haywire. And I still say they can – that team, because of their past tradition and whatever, and their coach, I still say they can make a difference and pull off – an upset or a near upset or whatever, because that's the way the sport of basketball is in this area.
And I agree with you, just because they have two players who can score a lot of points on a given night. And that, like, the Richard kid, I think consistently will score around 15 to 20 per game. And then if you play them on a night that, you know, like Luke McKay's making everything he throws up, I mean, he could make 9 or 10 threes, and all of a sudden, you know, that's 45, 50 points as a team that they have. And if they get some of their other pieces to score a basket or two, they're probably going to be in a game. Now, they haven't obviously been able to consistently do that, but like you said, the postseason, a one-game sample size, anything can really happen in 32 minutes when you're talking about, like, high school basketball. So, yeah, I think comes down to, like, their mentality. You know what I mean? Because just the way that program has been the last X amount of years, 15 or whatever, I mean, they're having really lopsided losses, and, like, night after night after night. So I just hope, you know, for the kids' sake, that they're kind of hanging in there mentally, because I agree with you. There is, I think, potential for them on the right night, and I'm not saying necessarily against Sherrard, but on the right night in their first postseason game, you know, maybe they could get really hot and put a scare into somebody, which is always fun, I think, when a team is able to do that, because I don't think it takes very much for teams, especially in that setting where you're kind of playing with house money and you've had a bad year, and it's like, okay, if you can get some confidence early in a game like that, you know, maybe that helps try to propel you to the finish line as well. So Yeah, I agree with you. And like you said, I mean, postseason basketball, it's really weird what can happen in some of those games.
Well, and here's the other thing. There's a thing called fouls, and right. There's a thing called no shot clock. And like I said, doing it 35 years, I've seen crazy things in postseason basketball. And then the other thing is some of those coaches will say, well, I'm holding one game plan for one game.
Right.
And we're going to do something absolutely banana crazy. Well, and you saw it last year in the quasi area here with the Pekatonica Eastland game, where Pekatonica routed Eastland twice during the regular season, and that was the infamous stall game where Eastland just held the ball forever. So now I know
that was the ace up the sleeve. Yeah.
So you just don't know what some coaches are going to put together. But anyway, we have a lot of games to worry about before we get to postseason play. But I will always profess that, you know, in basketball, it takes just one perfect storm for the underdog to put together something at the right time.
32 minutes is not very long. And if you start making a bunch of shots and you're playing with the lead and a team that normally doesn't play from behind is having to play from behind, weird things can happen. It's weird, though, like when you talk about postseason basketball. So the first day of the girls' basketball postseason is February 14th. And that's not very far away. It's like 3 weeks. And then the boys' basketball postseason gets going February 23rd. They'll do the postseason seeding February 5th for girls, February 12th for boys. The wrestling postseason starts a week from today. Unbelievable.
Well, and you got the big tournament, the Bob Mitten Invite is always the, you know, big wrestling event that precedes the wrestling regional. Bummed to see, you know, because of the weather this weekend, what, six or seven teams had to drop out of that. But that's always a benchmark kind of late season wrestling tournament. I know Orion's really proud of putting that on each winter. So it's funny, when I was coming here, I had to stop at Walmart and I saw Joe Lower there, and his, of course, grandsons are Ryan Lower and Nate Lower at the Orion wrestling tournament, the Bob Mitten Invite, which they do, like I said, great job putting that on. So yeah, so did you say next week or 2 weeks wrestling regional?
Next Saturday.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, the 31st. So the local ones at Riverdale.
So you got the big boys game this week is Friday. Is there a big girls matchup this week? Riverdale and Sherrard, right?
Riverdale Thursday up in Port Byron. So our broadcast on the air this week, I'm excited for really all of them. Sherrard Allman girls Monday. Sherrard Rockridge boys Tuesday. Sherrard Riverdale girls Thursday. Sherrard Orion boys Friday. The last two games, Thursday and Friday, are, I mean, basically first place in the conference on the line in both of them.
And I'll say this about, because I kind of think Allman might be the wild card in the postseason in girls basketball. You know, I saw them just one sample size against Mercer County up at the Don Morris Gym. And I know when you play in the kind of the height of the Western Big Six, maybe you coach a little bit different in the non-conference games. But some of their personnel, now I know Allman's best player transferred to Moline this year, but you know, I just think their talent level from a 2A level that they put on the floor when postseason rolls around, they're one of the teams that you have to keep an eye on. And then I think that's a pretty good matchup for Sherrard to play them here late in the regular season.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one thing about Sherrard and girls basketball. So Adeline Ellsbury scored her 1,000th career point this week. Congratulations to her. She's had a really strong career, but really like the last couple of weeks when they beat Mercer County on the road, she set a single game program record with 10 assists, and then she set a single game program record last Saturday, I think, when they played Wethersfield and made 8 three-pointers in the game. So she made 8 threes the day after Ryder Veranda did it on the boys' side for them. So she's set like 3 milestone performances in the past couple of weeks in her senior year. So congratulations to Adeline, great kid that we get to. When I talked about her, we did a Sports Spotlight interview with her a couple weeks ago. Really good kid and a great player, so congratulations to her.
Well, that's great balance where in a matter of days you hit threes and a couple days later you get 10 assists. That's a complete player, so that's pretty good going from 8 threes to 10 assists, man.
Yeah, and it's crazy, like we talked about, like the how close we are to the girls' postseason, especially like February 14th is the first day of postseason games. And I think that we have a couple of teams that are definite, I think, threats to win a regional. I mean, I think that Sherrard and Mercer County probably will be in the same regional. And if they were to play a third time, now they played the last game of the regular season, and then if they would play in the postseason, likely, I would think, with the way that it's going, they would be meeting in the regional final, and they would likely be at St. Bede. Maybe they could move that game to somewhere more close, because, come on. I mean, if that ends up being on a Thursday night, that Mercer County and Sherrard, who are, 15, 20 miles apart, have to go all the way to Peru to play each other. But a few years ago, I know in the volleyball regional, it was, I think this would have been Kelsey Hutchins senior, because Eric Hutchins, I think I've talked to him about this. Sherrard played Rock Ridge in the volleyball regional championship in Spring Valley. But I just, I don't.
So I was going to ask you, because it's you know, it's always, these things always change. So I know this year with subsectional in basketball, it's true seeding that it's right. Just not the top four. But then, so in basketball, now volleyball's been different because the regional host in volleyball hosts every match.
Right.
Now, are they back this year for basketball? The regional site hosts every game, or they just host the semifinals and championship?
Same,
that's it.
Same as always.
Okay. Yeah. But the only difference is the true seeding the entire
subsection. Which is where you can really get some crazy travel. Like, I was talking, we were in Carthage on Tuesday, and the Carthage Dairy Queen is a first-class operation, by the way. They were absolutely swamped after that game. And
I was there the day before, and they did a great job.
Yeah, so they closed, I think, at 9 p.m., and, like, I got there at, like, 8:42, and there were five cars in front of me. Well, there were five cars in front of me, and I'm like, oh, boy, I'm looking over. I really don't want to go to Hardee's. I'm not a big Hardee's fan. There's a Hardee's. I think they're open later. I'm like, come on, man. So I'm sitting there, it was probably about 8:47 by the time I got up there. So about a minute per car to get out is pretty good, especially when you're that close to closing. And, like, it's clearly just a bunch of high school kids in there running the show at Dairy Queen. So credit that crew of boys and girls. What a great job. They represented the Carthage and a lot of Iowa's community well, working at Dairy Queen on Tuesday night. But anyway, the reason I brought up Carthage is because I was talking with their head coach, and Illini West has had a very good year. They're 17-5 now, and their subsectional is loaded. I don't have the list in front of me. I can pull it up real quick as I tell the story. But, like, they are playing really well. But their subsectional, the area that it covers is unbelievable. Like, in terms of some of the assignments there. So there are two regional sites are either in Canton or Tri-Valley. So Carthage to Canton's like an hour 15. Carthage to Downs is like 2.5 hours. And it's the same way for the West Hancock schools, the schools in West Hancock towns as well. And it's looking to me like, I mean, Manuel will probably be the top seed in that subsection, and they would go to Canton. So, like, you're talking about, you know, West Hancock going 2.5 hours for their entire regional to Downs. And the rest of those teams, like Blooming Central Catholics in that one, Canton has had a good year. Illini West, who I mentioned, Tri-Valley, Eureka, Macomb, Manuel, Peoria, Notre Dame, Peoria Christian, Olympia, and West Hancock. So that's the other side that feeds into the IVC sectional. But some of that travel is crazy. Talk about going from Warsaw to Downs.
Oh, that is you talk about a geographic coverage area for that. But I will say this, if you know, everybody always wants, if you support the 1-32 high school football playoffs in every class, you can support this. And I support the true seeding. That's just the way it is. If people want the true seeding, there's going to be travel involved. So
right. And I like the true seeding.
I'm
as
in
well.
Favor of the entire sectional being seated.
Right. I don't think they'll ever do that.
No, I don't think they will either, but
I do agree with you, though, that I like this setup, I think, better than just the geographical. Because if you're going to do a subsectional, to me, you need to do it the right way and seed everybody 1-whatever and split them up based on their true seeds. Because, like, there were a handful of times, like the last couple of years, I know Sherrard, because of the geographical split, like, they would play their first, you know, postseason game as one of the top two, you know, either one or two or three seeds and, like, play another 20-win team that also got a first-round bye. So it's like, what did we really even earn by getting this, you know, seed our regular season? So, yeah, I do think that I like the setup here better than the geographic split up they were doing.
And that's why class expansion never cures anything. It just adds to the problem because, you know, when you look to the two class in basketball, the traditional regional formats could have been in play forever. And when you looked at, you know, the five classes originally in football and then even the six classes, you know, you're getting more, you're getting less schools in the field. And again, my issue with people talking about travel all the time, travel only impacts the winner. If you lose, season's over. So right. What does it matter? So it's the winning teams that if you win, you know, and who's going to be disappointed if your postseason you continue to win and you continue right. to travel? That's part of the experience. So, but yeah, and each year sets, you know, presents its own set of dynamics because every year on social media you'll see certain parts of the state that have really good teams in one part of a sectional. Well, that's what happens. I mean, so that's part of the aura of the IHSA tournaments is, you know, you got to battle your way through the tournament trail to get to state.
So I noticed this, and this is something I noticed, I think, yesterday when I was looking through some of the postseason stuff getting ready for our broadcast last night. So Mendota, they are hosting a boys basketball sectional. They're hosting the girls basketball sectional that our schools would go to if anybody advances. They hosted a volleyball super sectional and a boys soccer super sectional this school year alone.
So they apply for everything, apparently.
For them. They've got beautiful facilities up there, too. Yeah. I just wish it was a little closer. But, like, well, they had the boys basketball sectional a few years ago in one of the years that Rock Ridge went to state. I think they played, God, Rock Ridge and Farmington played in the sectional final in Mendota.
And Eureka was in the field there. Maybe it was Tri-Valley that year, too. But it was like four teams coming from a long, long way to get to that location. And so in that year, Coach Cook and I went Tuesday, because we broadcast every game of the sectional. So we were there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at Mendota.
Yeah. Holy smokes. That's a lot of Mendota. Yeah. I was there once this year in the football season. Monty and I went, and then Tegan, my younger sister, rode home with us. She did not ride the bus, and then Monty's wife, Teague, came with us for the long road trip. We ate at the Princeton Wendy's on the way home. We got off the interstate and said, all right, this is where we're stopping.
So it's interesting you bring up bus rides. So this week, I was for RFD Radio, I was interviewing Neil Alexander. And by the way, he's at Lincoln. They play at Rock Island tonight.
And he's at 996 wins, yeah, right? And he would become the second boys basketball coach ever to get to 1,000.
Yeah,
Gene Pingator is the other one.
So I was asking him, I said, how many miles do you think you've traveled on a bus? So he's coached for 49 years. Yeah. So he was at Westmer for 1 year, I think. And then he went to Yorkwood, so two schools that no longer exist.
Well, he coached at Yorkwood, too? I didn't know
And then Bushnell Prairie City. Oh, and then he went from Bushnell Prairie City to Lincoln. But he said, and we can debate this maybe some other time, because this is an issue that a lot of people always talk about. He requires his team to, every game, ride the bus home.
When Coach Hutton was my coach, that's what we did, too.
So, you imagine? It's not the thing of him coaching for 49 years or practicing for 49 years, but could you imagine that dude is on the bus for 49 years and then he requires his kids. And we ran the interview on RFD today, yesterday. He explains why he requires the kids
to ride the bus. Why.
And he says, hey, we're a team, we're traveling together, and we eat together. And, you know, that's the best thing, a meal among family and team is important. So I agree. And I know a lot of parents and a lot of people that are listening, they're like, the programs like that, they just, hey, this is the expectation. You're riding the bus home if you're a varsity kid, and that's the way the program is.
And another thing, too, is I think that helps, like, a little bit of a buffer between, like, parents who are super mad about whatever stupid thing. So the
100%,
kids aren't with them.
So they don't have to listen to the coaching on the way home.
Yeah, that's the worst thing ever when you get in the car and
shoot it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like, I can't take when I'm at a game and it just is, shoot! It's like, oh, my God. No, why do you think they're not shooting, right? Yeah. Like, they're not magically just going to become, like, a 45% three-point shooter. But, yeah, the shoot it, that's like, the number one thing that is so funny to listen to people yell from the
– yeah.
From the same, especially like in JV games, like JV girls games, it's like, which I guess I can somewhat agree with, because like we're probably just gonna end up turning the ball over if we don't just take the first shot. But yeah, that is funny. But it's interesting. Now, did you ask him? Do his kids like what are they? What's their dress code when they travel?
No, I did not. Okay. That's a good question. I did not ask him that. But he's basically he says culture and society has changed, but he said that. Kind of the same, the kids are the same that they were in 1976 at Westmore than they are, that they are today in 2026 at Lincoln. So, but I mean, that's, 996 wins. I'm thinking about maybe going up there tonight to watch his.
And his son is an assistant at Illinois.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And it was funny when I talked to him yesterday, earlier this week. So the story about him that's interesting is he had to. All he said he ever wanted to do was coach basketball. So when he interviewed for the Westmore job, he was a Monmouth College grad, and they said, "Well, you can have the basketball coaching job, but in order for you to coach basketball, you got to take the football job because we have the football job opening." So his first varsity win ever was in the sport of football, and he talked about it. He said we beat the Union Yankee, so he threw out the old Bi-County references, which I thought is pretty awesome. But we saw one of my favorite stories about Coach Alexander is Ty and I don't know how old Ty was, but I think Io was like a freshman or sophomore, and he was playing for Morgan Park, and they were playing Lincoln in the state title game.
I was probably like a sophomore or freshman in college at this point.
So we were sitting on the baseline of Peoria Civic Center, and we're sitting next to these group of guys, about six or seven, and they're playing Lincoln.
That's the second time you've said that, six or seven.
Yeah, sorry, I do that intentionally. And they're playing, Lincoln's playing Morgan Park in the state title game. Morgan Park is coached by the legendary Nick Irvin in Chicagoland basketball. So we're there watching the game, and we're noticing like this interaction of Nick Irvin, the head coach of Morgan Park, with these, seven guys that are sitting on the bench.
I don't think it was Iowa State. I think it was before that. That was when I was in high school. It was Josh Cunningham was their best player from Morgan Park.
Okay, was Charlie Moore playing for him then or not? Okay,
that's who it was, yeah.
So they're having – so he's actually interacting with these guys that are sitting watching the game.
Yeah.
So they're about four or five seats down, and I finally say to one of them, I said, "Man, when you guys win, you're going to get state championship medals." And the guy at the end says to me, he goes, "Well, you know who that is there sitting two seats away from me?" He goes, "That's Mac Irvin from the Mac Irvin Fire." I'm like, oh, okay. And then he goes, "You know the guy right down there at the end?" And I'm like, "Is that Mark Aguirre?" And the guy goes, "You know Mark Aguirre?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I said I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. I remember that DePaul team." He goes, "Yeah, that's Mark Aguirre. He's the money behind Mac Irvin Fire." So anyway, I thought it was awesome. But Neil Alexander was coaching in that game, and I remember he had this really good kid, and they would run him through screens. He'd bring the ball up.
He was a great player.
But eventually they just ran. He went to Ohio, I think, and he may have played for Gross, I think, before Gross went to Illinois. And they just ran out of gas. But I always tell Coach Alexander, I said, "You had seven guys coaching in the stands, plus their six guys on the bench, and it took all that for them, and a couple of D1 players, and it took all that for them to beat Lincoln." But, yeah, he's playing up in Rock Island tonight. So, again, 996 wins and counting. Or they may have got 997 last night. He did have a game last night, and then he's what? Maybe 35 wins away from the all-time winningest coach. And win number one, everybody, came at Westmore again.
Long live the Westmore Warriors. So you mentioned Union, which is now a part of West Central, right? And this is like another thing that is random. But and again, we'll get to Aaron Britton coming up momentarily. But I saw, speaking of Union and West Central, Jason Kirby was at the Mercer County Family YMCA yesterday morning. I ran into him. Yeah. West Central didn't have school, so he was working out. I know he's got a knee replacement surgery coming up, so best wishes to Coach Kirby. That. He was telling me he's going to be out of school for a month or so as he recovers from that, so we wish him the best in his recovery. We love Jason Kirby, and what a drive from Sherrard to Biggsville every day.
I didn't know he was a YMCA member in Mercer County.
Yeah.
Good on him,
that's the first
man.
Time I've ever seen him there. Yeah. We talked for about 5 minutes, so best wishes and a quick recovery for Coach Kirby once he gets that surgery. And one other thing that I wanted to bring up, because you mentioned this to me this morning when you came into the office. I told you I went through and, like, I think it was yesterday, I looked for all the teams that haven't won a game yet in boys basketball just because I was interested. And I found, like, maybe 8 of them or 9 or 7. I don't remember the exact number. But one of them is Rova Williamsfield, who's 0-19. And I know this isn't to, like, rag on a team that's struggling, but you mentioned it's, what, 50 years from their best team ever?
Yeah, that finished state runner-up. And they would have been at state when that was the Jay Scheidler era, I believe, for Lawrenceville. And, I mean, that's when basketball was the true, you know, king in the state of Illinois, question.
And when you factor in Williamsfield's tradition, too, it just is wild that they're struggling mightily.
Yeah.
0-19.
But they named – so the IHSA at one time named, like, the top 100 or top 50 players in, like, IHSA history. And one of them – they did this a while back, and one of them was Dave Johnson, who played on that Rova team in 1976. But when I was over there earlier this year, you know, because I'm a big nerd when it comes to, like, IHSA history stuff.
You can just stop after you said you're a big nerd.
So I just said – and I said, are you guys going to honor the – 50 years of the Rova basketball team, because the gym's named after Bob Meredith over there now, the coach in Oneida. And they're like, oh, that's right. That is the 50th year. So I told them that the 50th year was taking place. But, when you're in small school sports, things, you know, 50 years is a long time, but things, there's an ebb and flow to talent level, enrollment, and all those things, and things can change quickly. But that was a time in Oneida in the Rova School District. And I believe it was R-O-V-A then. It was before the W was added to the school. But
too bad, Watauga.
But then, you know, getting back to Aaron Britton, I think one of the great shows, if we could ever put it together and get them in studio, because I think three perfect guys to have a conversation about just like travel and culture of Illinois as it relates to interscholastic athletics. Nesto from Nesto Hoops, you know, what Vincent Johnson did with his book, Illustrious Gyms, and then Dave Nanengay with Illinois High School Glory Days.com. All the travel those guys do in every pocket of the state, right, to get them in one room and to have a conversation with them about that would be radio gold. And so do that before. Maybe you can do a special summer show.
Yeah, and Vincent, his book is now released, Illustrious. It's the, you know, picture book basically of the great photography he did of of the top gyms in high school basketball gyms in Illinois. So that's something that if you enjoy stuff
it's not
like
a
that,
basketball book.
No, it's not. It's a history book. It's great. And you should go through and there are obviously multiple different ways to purchase that. But Vincent Johnson, his name, you can find him on social media pretty easily. And I believe, right, WRMJ, we were the first to have him on the air with that project too. Him
right.
And Nesto.
That's right. So those type of like the Americana stories, and Vincent Johnson, and like I said, there's not three better people that I mentioned that you'd want to meet than Dave Nanengay from Illinois High School Glory Days, Nesto from Nesto Hoops, and Vincent Johnson from, great photojournalist from his illustrious book, because he talked about he could have done so much more with all of the visual imagery he provided, but that book, I'm telling you, people, if you like interscholastic athletics, you like small towns, you like Illinois history and travel, you should get it. And it's a beautiful hardcover book.
And Wharton Fieldhouse is in there. I think both Rock Island gyms are in there. Don Morris Gym is in there. UT is in there as well.
Is so Quincy or?
Quincy, I think so, too. Yeah. We'll have to flip through it. But, yeah, it's great. The Washington Street Gym from Macomb is in there as well. We did a game from there this season with the Sherrard girls. That's a fantastic book, and that's something that, you know, you can go out and
But I
for.
Told getting back to Nesto Hoops about, like, people that are, like
And then we'll get to his conversation
But like, high
up.
School sports. So, like, When I travel, so I was at an event in Bloomington earlier this week, and I was talking to somebody, like they were from, I think, Sangamon County, and we were talking about, you know, kind of, I said, hey, how good is play in that part of the state? And some guy, you know, randomly, he referenced Nesto Hoops, and I'm like, I love it, man.
Exactly.
So anyway, and I'm like, I know Aaron Britton, and I'll never forget, too, when he walked into the, I always forget the name of the place. Yeah, it's like, here comes the king, Nesto Hoops is at the office.
And then the thing I remember about that, and then we'll get to our conversation, but the funniest thing ever is he walked in, and within, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, poor Nesto, he's in the corner. He's cornered by Jansen Bender and Kent Brown. He's like, great, I'm glad I came here. But, yeah, it was. I remember, like, looking over across the room, and, like, he was up, like, kind of near the corner, and, like, Jansen and Kent were both around. Funny stuff. But yeah, there's a lot to talk to with him. So it was great that he came to the Sherrard sectional last year. You always know if he's there, it's a pretty big game. So yeah.
We'll get to Nesto and we buried the lead. He's coming up on the show.
Yeah. So we'll come back from inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios and talk with Aaron Britton. That's Nesto Hoops. That's next. It's Sportsline on a Saturday morning from live inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor and Jim Taylor inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We are excited to be joined by Aaron Britton. You know him, you love him, right? That would be Nesto Hoops on social media. You can follow him on X at Nesto Hoops. You can follow the spreadsheet online at NestoHoops.com. We call him the number one high school basketball expert in the state. Dad, aren't we happy to have him?
Amen. Number one expert, basketball expert in the state. Always great to have Nesto Hoops on the WRMJ airwaves. I know our listeners here locally and across the state always enjoy listening to him.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mr. Nesto Hoops. Aaron Britton, how have you been doing this season, sir?
Doing well. Been able to get out to as many games as I'm able to, which, you know, since the kids, I'm seeing about 80 games a season, and that's a pretty good number. You know, that's a number that I'm content with going forward for the next decade and a half at least.
So I guess we'll just start with kind of a general overview. And I saw you put out a post on X, it was either yesterday or a couple of days ago, with this crazy list of like one team that beat another team that went, I think, all the way up to Evanston and all the way down to Western, who has three wins. And I think locally, and maybe even statewide, it's kind of one of those seasons, at least in our area,
where it's kind of hard to really find where teams truly are in the pecking order. Is that something that you're seeing as kind of a statewide trend this season? Because I know locally, at least, it feels that way in our area.
Yeah, 2A, definitely. I mean, I didn't have a good feel for 2A coming into the season, and I still don't have a great feel. I mean, you know, I'm able to put together a list of ranked teams. Quincy Notre Dame is unbeaten, and, you know, so somebody's got to be in there. But, you know, I don't think QND is unbeatable by any means. Same with T-Town and Peoria Manual. You know, they're going to be there, but, you know, they've had problems getting out of that sectional in the past 2 years. And then you have a team like Sherrard that hasn't been ranked yet, but, you know, they took some losses prior to the Christmas tournament, and I don't think they were at full strength yet, and they're starting to slowly round into form, and a team that's going to be looking rather formidable by the time the postseason comes around.
Yeah, so I guess that's a good place to kind of start. You mentioned Sherrard there. Now they're up to 15-4. They've lost just three games once they've had their top returner, Carter Brown back. So just kind of speaking generally, you know, in kind of the WRMJ listening area, is that the team that maybe sticks out the most to you so far this season? And just any other observations from kind of, you know, this area of the state so far?
Yeah, I think they're in the driver's seat for that one seed in that subsectional, the IBC sectional. I was able to see Mercer County over the summer, and maybe it was – I caught them on a good game, and they actually lost that game to St. Joe Ogden by like 2 or 3 points. But I liked what they showed me in the summer, so I thought that they or Orion would be the team to beat in that division of the Three Rivers. And lo and behold, it's – Sherrard in the driver's seat, you know, same as it ever was for the last few seasons. So when you're talking about Sherrard, losing a player like they did last year was probably the best player that school's ever had. Them to come back and be 15-4, I think is a pretty nice feat for them.
Yeah, when speaking of 2A, you know, you referenced Quincy Notre Dame, but you said, I don't think they're unbeatable. So do you see a clear-cut favorite now, like as, you know, state champ in 2A? Or is it just a lot of teams under consideration to hoist the trophy at the end of the year?
I think there are quite a few teams that can win state, and I think there's probably even more teams that think they can win state. Last year, I was able to see Diet and Rock Ridge in that Rocky tournament to start the year. And I had both those teams, I think, ranked in the preseason top 10. But that was a game that I kind of stuck in my mind with Diet. The pace that they played, they were able to slow it down. And then they eventually won 2A, but Sherrard beat them in the regular season. And I think this is the same kind of season where somebody could be laying in the weeds. Team like Crane out of the west side of Chicago, they're currently 12-9. Most of those losses are against larger schools, but, you know, they're one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. They can beat anybody, they can lose to anybody. And in a one-and-done scenario, they're a team that may not win a regional title, but they could also win the state title.
So you mentioned there about a moment ago about Sherrard likely, you know, being in the driver's seat for the top seed in their subsectional that feeds into the IVC sectional. Now that other subsectional that feeds into the IVC sectional in Chillicothe, I mean, some of the teams in that one, Manual, West Hancock, I know Eureka in there, Tri-Valley, Illini West has had a good season, Canton has had a strong year as well. So when you look at like the subsectionals around the state in Class 2A, and we'll talk a little bit about 1A here coming up in a bit, does that one look like maybe the deepest one from top to bottom? Because if you look at the top like 7 or 8 teams in that subsectional B going into the IVC section, I mean, it feels like it's really loaded. Is that what you see?
It is loaded. And, you know, I haven't looked at other subsectionals and compared, you know, which one is the deepest, but this one is really deep. West Hancock has been flirting with the top 10 ranking all year. Manual's been in the top 10. Illini West is a team that's into the top 25 now. So, you know, if you were to rank the whole sectional, Sherrard would be maybe a 4 or 5 seed, but, you know, as you touched on, the imbalance of these two subsectionals. They're one seed in the other one. And then you have a team like Bloomington Central Catholic. Canton is another one of those up and down teams. They beat Metamora. Then they've also lost to a couple of 1A schools. And you got Macomb, Eureka, Peoria Christian's 12-6, and the team that I was really high on coming into the season. That's, maybe I've just missed on them, but that's Tri-Valley. They're sitting at 9-8, and I don't think anybody would want to play them in the postseason when it gets down to it.
Yeah, and just speaking about that subsectional too, and I know this happens sometimes, like geographically, that one is really crazy. When you look at Downs and Tri-Valley being one of the regional hosts, like I was at a game in Carthage this week, and I was talking with their head coach about that potential trip for regional from Carthage to Downs is about 2.5 hours, and the West Hancock communities as well, Hamilton, Warsaw, a similar length trip. And I know we talk about kind of the imbalance sometimes of one subsectional being a heck of a lot stronger than the other, but just with like those two specifically, since it kind of encompasses the schools that we cover, just what do you think about the split there, and then also just some of the geographical trouble that it looks like that other subsectional has there that we were just talking about?
You know, this is one of those trade-offs that you get into when you go to four-class basketball. If you want to play teams your own size, you're going to have to travel further. And the line's got to be drawn somewhere. And I know the IHSA, they use, you know, some sort of computer-based software that just basically just spits it out for them. So I don't think there's any, like, you know, individual gerrymandering happening in the IHSA's eyes. You know, it's just they enter a north quadrant or a south quadrant, and it spits it out, and this is what it gives them. But it certainly does present some travel challenges for a couple of those teams. And, there's nothing really that you can say about it. It is what it is.
Well, but you bring up a good point. So, you know, you look at the subsectional now, seeding this year is true seeding, where the teams are filtered out based on seeds and not just the top four seeds. But I still even contend, you know, what you're going to want to see eventually is a true sectional seating, not a subsectional seating. But do you like the going to the true format for subsectional seating this year, where all teams are seated, not just the top four? And that's why you're going to have these, you know, the travel concerns that you've mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a game changer by any means. I think if you were to seed the entire sectional, that would be, you know, far more bang for your dollar. But, you know, it'll balance out some of these loaded sectionals a little bit more. Cause I think there's been sectionals in the past where you had 11 or 12 teams in that subsectional. You'd have six teams that were in the top eight be in the same regional just because of that geography. And this will clear some of that up. But it's, you know, subsectionals are probably something that we're going to have to just suffer through for the ongoing future, because I don't, as much as I would be, I would love to go to a sectional, see the entire sectional like a lot of the 3As and 4As do. But for 1A, if you have 32 teams in a sectional, it's not feasible to ask one coach to, you know, hey, see the entire sectional, and then you just end up with a bunch of misinformed votes, and I don't think there's any clarity to be gained by that either.
All right, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about 1A. Now, we haven't been, like, as in tune with 1A basketball because for the last, you know, I don't know, what, 5 or 6 years, maybe even more than that, all the schools that we really primarily cover have been in 2A. Orion, though, dropped to 1A. I was very high on them coming into the season. I think they're 16-6 or 17-6 right now coming into a Friday night game with Mercer County, as we're talking with you on Friday afternoon. But they're kind of still searching for like a marquee, really high quality win, I think, this season, as I you don't want to say the word disappointing, but I think for them that they haven't maybe hit their full stride that they've maybe hoped to, that the hopes they had coming into the year. So just kind of your outlook on them. I know their subsectional is pretty tough, especially at the top. They have Newman, who hasn't lost. Eastland is in there as well. They're likely, I would say, looking at probably if they get to a regional final, would be Eastland who they'd match up with. So just what about the path Orion has, and anything maybe you've noted on them from afar this season?
Yeah, I think it's, they've won the games that you would have, you know, penciled them in to win, and they've not been able to get that marquee win, as you had mentioned. And that's, you know, I had them ranked in the preseason, and they've slipped out. I thought that they had a chance to win that Warkins tournament over Christmas, and then they ended up finishing fourth. Then they lost to Sherrard a couple weeks into the season. The loss at Moline's, nothing to really, you know, I'm not going to ding them for that. And then they lost to the Normal West at the Brickhouse Shootout over the last weekend. And the Normal West team isn't really good. I mean, they're probably 5-14 now. So that was another game where, even though it's a 3A team, that's a team that they should be able to beat. But they're hosting a sectional, and if they can somehow survive a regional, like you said, it's going to be Eastland more than likely. And the regional hosts in that one are Bureau Valley and Allman. And I don't know how they're going to chop that one up. That's going to be another IHSA decision to be made. But they, you know, again, Eastland, for their record, you know, I think Eastland has more wins by single digits than any other team in the state. They're like 11-2 in games decided by less than 10 points. So they're not blowing teams out. And Orion, I think, has a lot of horsepower when you're talking about the offensive side of the basketball. And that may be the caveat for them in postseason, where if they're able to click and run away from teams that want to grind it out in half court.
Well, in speaking of the area, putting together a tremendous year here in the track is Newman Central Catholic out of Sterling. Have you had a chance to see them? And as we talked to you, they're 22-0 on the season. What do you think about that group this year?
I did see them last week. They hosted Mendota, and that was a one-point game. Mendota hit a three at the buzzer to lose by 1 point. But Ray Sharp, I think, just achieved his 400th win as a head coach. Great dude, great coach. They have a really solid starting five, and they will go 1-3-1 in the full court, and they'll drop back into it in the half court. He's been doing that for many, many years. And this year they've touched on a couple of different zone traps in the half court, and then even a little man-to-man, which is something that they rarely do. They got a 6'4 transfer from Morrison, Asher Ernst, and they have, if you watch them 10 times, you'd probably see a different best player every other game. You know, they don't have one true dominant player. They have just five players that play really well within that system. They have a little water bug point guard, Garrick Matznik. He's about 5'9", 5'10". He doesn't score a lot, but he just makes them click. Everything runs through him as the defenses collapse on him. He knows where to get the ball. And the other thing that is going to wear on the opponents is they just don't stop. They don't necessarily run up the score, but the full court pressure is not going away. And that's something that if you're Eastland or any other team in that sectional, you're going to have to deal with for 32 minutes.
Yeah, and just speaking about, you know, the rest, kind of the top end of 1A, my dad mentioned Newman as we talked to you, 22-0 on the season. How good of a grasp do you feel that you have on kind of the top 10 or so teams in Class 1A and some of those, like, state title contenders? Is it similar to 2A, where you feel like it's kind of a title that's maybe up for grabs this year?
I think that pool is a little tighter in 1A. Lawrenceville, I've got at 1A, and they were 3 in the preseason. And Waltonville, Woodlawn, Weber, those 3 W schools out of the Midland Trail, they were all top 10 in the preseason. A couple of teams that were on my radar but just have far exceeded my expectations have been Sparta, A-Town, and then Dakota up here in my neck of the woods. You know, they're a team that, like, they never look good in the summer, so it's not even worth trying to watch them play basketball in the summer. And then they have a really good coach, they have a really good system that they play, and they're 20-1 now. But A-Town is one of those teams that they guard really well, and you know, that could you could in theory have an Orion and A-Town super sectional at the McComb Super.
Yeah, that would be a crazy like atmosphere with two really local schools playing at Western Hall. That's a ways down the line, though, of course. Is there anything else you want to mention specifically about 1A, Dad, before we maybe move on to some more general stuff?
For those people that like history of the game in 1A, it was funny, earlier this week I was talking to a downstate basketball fan, and he came up to me and he said, man, what do you think of Lawrenceville? And, I mean, for people that who followed, you know, high school basketball, I guess when it was really on top, with statewide attention, was the Lawrenceville days of the 70s and 80s with, you know, the blonde bomber, Jay Scheidler, and then Marty the Mule, Marty Simmons. I'm curious, have you had a chance to see them play? Because it looks to me like in 1A, there are a lot of teams kind of in that same area that are in the top 15 or top 10, and I want to see Lawrenceville play and see what type of like mojo that they have and if they compare to some of those teams in the 70s and 80s.
I haven't seen them in person. I've watched a little bit of film on them. They're very athletic. They're 6'3", 6'3", 6'4". Jaden Goff I got some text messages prior to Christmas that said he was like kind of like Rex Chapman was back in the day at Kentucky, just flying all over the place, hitting threes, dunking on people. So that was something that I did not expect to hear. I mean, I knew he was a good player, but that was just quite the comparison. I don't know that I will see them in the regular season. I'm just going to try to get down to the Benton shootout first weekend in February, but the schedule's not going to work out. The one good thing about the way that they split up the postseason this year, you'd mentioned that there's a lot of good teams in the South, in that Effingham area, and even in the deeper part of the South. A lot of those teams go the different ways for sectionals and even super sectionals. So you could have Lawrenceville at State, and you could have a team like Waltonville at State also. So that's, you know, for those teams, that's good. It may not be good for the other teams that they're going to run into, but you could have an all 6-1-8 state title game, possibly.
Oh, and I was going to ask you too, then, as you watch kind of the dynamic of, you know, 1A, 2A basketball, you know, when we were accustomed to, you know, the two class system, it was always basically 1A was a downstate game. I mean, not following enrollment as closely as probably I should have, but when you look at, you know, the city of Chicago and the Chicagoland schools, I mean, do you just see that trend continuing where you're going to see more and more of those schools filtering out to the west and, you know, to the south of Chicago and the south of suburban Chicago, and you're seeing more of those schools kind of impacting small school basketball? Because you look at your top 25 rankings in 1A and 2A, you know, back in the day, you didn't see a lot of those schools in, you know, the small school classification. So what about that?
Yeah, I think that's a trend that will, as long as those schools can physically stay open, you will see them they're going to have their say in the postseason. That the records may not be very pretty going into the postseason. I know there's been some chatter about why I still have Fanger ranked. They have the number one strength of schedule in 1A. But yeah, a lot of the traditional neighborhood schools in Chicago, the enrollment's dwindling, people are moving out of the city. And then you have private schools popping up. You know, this Unity Christian out of South Holland, I think this is maybe the third or fourth year for the school. And, you know, and then that's a traditional hotbed for basketball. And if you can get some kids that can play, and if there's only 100 kids in the school, well, you're going to be 1A for a few years. And if they're fortunate enough to win a state title or even get there, they'll get the multiplier, but that may not even be enough to bump them into 2A. So then they're at the behest of the, success factor. So, you know, some of these teams are going to be 1A and 2A powers going forward.
And again, we're speaking with Aaron Britton, Nesto Hoops on Sportsline this morning. I wanted to ask you something. This is the third year we've had you on the program. I don't think at least I haven't asked you this, I don't think. So the state rankings, you do, of course, a top 25 in each class. So how do you go about each week? Like, what is the procedure for you putting that together? How much time does it take to put the rankings together? And how do you ultimately decide kind of where every team goes? Because that is so much data to sift through, I'm sure, so much basketball to follow, so much basketball to watch. Or just how do you do it every week?
Well, I would say each class ranking takes maybe an hour. Now, that's not a consecutive hour. It's not four consecutive hours. But once there's a few games that are played on Sundays in the Chicago area. But once I'm able to get all the scores entered from the weekend or from Saturday night on Sunday morning, I'll just pull my tablet out. And as I get a spare minute here or there, I'll just start plucking away. And the teams that are in that 16 to 25 range, if they're losing games they shouldn't be losing, it's really easy for me to just drop them out. And at that point, it's kind of the pecking order of the teams that could be ranked now get the opportunity to be ranked. And if you keep winning, you're going to stay in. If you take good losses, I may drop you one or two, but I'm not going to drop you out for good losses. And then the bad losses get you removed completely. The Chicago area ranking, you know, that's pretty much a paint by numbers thing, because it's just two or three teams from 3A and mostly 4A teams. The south of I-80, you know, that I get a lot of questions about, you know, the geography of the Interstate 80 that it's named after, but it really has nothing to do with that interstate. It's just a downstate large school pool. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, some teams will jump other teams without losing, and you know, that just, there's a team like Dakota that had 9 wins in 10 days. So from one week to the next, you go from, you know, 11-1 to 20-1, and all of a sudden your resume starts to compound and look a lot better than the teams that are ahead of you.
So I guess for you too, another question I have is just the, I guess, popularity in which your rankings gain. I mean, especially over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, really, I feel like the reaction you get each week has really, you know, got bigger and bigger and bigger. So, I mean, for you, has that been kind of cool to see the following grow throughout the years? Because, like, the, at least in our area, the Nesto Hoops rankings every week are something that a lot of people talk about.
You know, it's fine. You know, it's not something that I'm not like counting the followers or whatever. The one thing that I do love about getting more followers is usually that means your scores are going to be easier to get,
right?
Whether it's a team account or a coach or whatever. So in that aspect, I do love having more followers. I've noticed that, like, when I tweet them out, my rankings, you know, I'll get maybe 10 to 15 retweets and, you know, 35 to 40 likes per each ranking. But then when they are copied into, like, a more, I guess, family-friendly social media, like when they go to Facebook, and I don't post them on Facebook, but they just kind of blow up on Facebook. it's just kind of funny to see all of the interactions and the vitriol that gets spewed weekly because why is this team ranked here? And so I like, you know, kind of eating popcorn to that, you know, that's the funniest part of it, I think.
And I'm curious, what's the, like, craziest thing now that you've been doing this for 3 years with the rankings? Like, what do you think, like, the craziest, you know, private message you got about, you know, I don't know, it doesn't have to be even somebody being mad, but just, like, you know, the internet brings out, you know, some strangeness. There's no question about that. Has there anything like, wow, man, I did this and now I'm hearing this?
Well, on the negative side, that's not for radio. That's a private comment. Yeah. There's been some where, you know, I don't like blocking people.
God, you had to block somebody over high school basketball? That's crazy, man. Somebody's taking it to that extreme. Get a life, people.
Yeah, I mute certain people, but there was, you know, I got one message and it was It was over the line, and I'm pretty thick skinned, but you know, I worry about some people finding out where I live, because that's the thing that really scares me.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, there's been some coaches that I really respect in this state, and you know, I may have been able to meet them personally, and they say, hey, you know what, we really, really enjoy what you do. It's a service to us. We use it every day. And those are the things that I hang my hat on. You know, you're not going to please everybody. And I really don't care if I please anybody, because, you know, I'm doing this because I enjoy it. And I have the opportunity to share it with other people that may enjoy it.
Here's what I'll say. So one, thank you. Right. And two, I'm glad you're hearing from coaches. You know, this is not just even a basketball statement, but If you're promoting the game, and I don't care what sport it is, and we can have these subjective, dumb debates about who should be ranked where, in the end, you're promoting this sport. And if there is anybody out there that takes issue with that or is critical of that, that's why we're in the place we're at now with some participation numbers. So I applaud you for, I say what you're doing is growing the game, and you're doing it, you know, on your own. And that's what we're missing now in traditional forms of media. I remember, and this is slightly off the beaten path, do you remember, because, and maybe I can't ask this on the air, how old you are, and I won't ask that, but back in the 90s and early 2000s, there was a former reporter, sports writer at the Peoria Journal Star, that his name was Jeff Lampe. And he was kind of doing what you're doing, but with a physical presence. And he printed a newsletter each week that was called Class A Weekly. And it was just small school basketball, like what you're doing. And then for whatever reason, he stopped, but it was one of the most popular things in covering the Class A basketball beat. And, you know, the other thing I love about you is the information you provide. I was having a conversation with Tom Sigel one day, the former Rock Island coach, about how he misses the print coverage that back in the heyday, you could go to a newspaper and find multiple box scores from around the state. You can't do that so easily now. So, I mean, this is like a long-winded thing. So I applaud you for bringing this type of information from around the state for true basketball fans who really love the game like myself. So long story short, well done, Nesto Hoops. I mean, that is like a perfect testimonial if you want to print that.
Well, I'm glad one of us is recording this conversation. But back on the Jeff Lampe newsletter, I was still in high school when that was happening.
So you remember that then, because it was like, yeah, it was like an 8.5 by 11 inch like newsletter.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it's just amazing. Like everybody went crazy when it came and mailed. It was like mailed to you.
And when I moved up here in Northern Illinois in 2008. And I slowly, you know, got hooked up with the other basketball nerds that, you know, were not really connected with anything other than just going to games. They would say that, yeah, we would drive down to the Peoria area. I think they said like Bradford was maybe the northernmost point where they would sell the PJ Star. And they would go there every week and buy the newspaper physically for that newsletter.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
I love hearing that, man.
So I echo everything my dad said. I mean, I use the Nesto Hoop spreadsheet all the time. And like my dad was saying as well, what Aaron Britton Nesto Hoops does for the game, you really can't even quantify it. The type and level of coverage and the blood and the sweat and the time equity that he puts into everything. And I know like a cool part of doing this job is we've got to know Nesto, and a great guy to get to meet, great guy to get to know and work with and in some capacity. So I'm just saying basically the same thing my dad did as we wrap up with you, Mr. Aaron Britton. I really appreciate the time, the work you do, and it's been great to work with you over the past couple of years. And thanks for talking with us today, man.
Yeah. Pleasure is all mine. Look forward to the next time we chat, and look forward to the next time we're able to run into each other.
Yes, sir. And just before we let you go, do you have any plans as you look ahead towards the final month or so of the season to make a trip to the WRMJ listening area, or is that something we're going to miss out on this year?
I'm still have hopes. I'm hanging on to a hope of going to a game down there, whether it's a postseason game or a regular season game, and trying to get my wife to go along with me, because, you know, last year we had this big weekend plan figured out, and then my youngest kid had to get two teeth pulled, so that put a wrench in that plan.
All right, Aaron Britton, thank you very much. For anything else you want to mention, Jim Taylor, before we let Nesto go?
I was just going to say, I was thinking about you, though. What you're doing and how you travel is awesome. And I know when I've talked to Vincent Johnson before, who's the author of the Illustrious Jim's book, which is awesome. I know you've spoke highly of that. And I think about Dave Nandengay at Illinois High School GloryDays.com. It's more than like the game. So like I think the travel is like a separate story, and I'm sure someday we can get into that with you when you go to some of these towns. Like I remember last year when you came, was that last year or 2 years ago? We came to the Sherrard.
It was last year.
That was the sectional.
Yeah.
And like everybody's like, Nesto Hoops is coming, man.
Yeah.
So I always think that's, and I'm like, that's, you know, Nesto Hoops. I was at an event like earlier this week in Bloomington, and somebody like referenced, they were talking high school basketball and they referenced Nesto Hoops. And I'm like, well, I'm going to talk to him this week. So anyway, no, I love it. So, and that's why someday, you know, we can go like different directions when we talk to you. And someday when we get you on again, I want to hear some of your observations just with travel, like with the people you meet in doing this, but that's a big part of this too. But again, a tip of the cap and keep up the great work, Mr. Aaron Britton, AKA Nesto Hoops.
Yeah. Thanks, Nesto.
All righty, guys.
All right. And that will wrap up our conversation with Aaron Britton. Again, you can follow him on X at Nesto Hoops. You can view the spreadsheet daily, NestoHoops.com. We're back to wrap up Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios after this on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, winding down Sportsline on January the 24th. Man, how great to talk to Aaron Britton, Nesto Hoops, this morning.
Yeah, you were saying off the air, hopefully he'll come to the game next Friday.
Yeah, we need to get him some in this area. He was at the Sherrard at Orin game last year that Rylan Carton scored 36 points in.
Well, and I was going to say, and I wish I would have asked him more about it. So right at the beginning of the conversation, and I remember when we were recording the interview yesterday, when he said, I go to 80 games a year.
That's a lot.
80 games a year?
Yeah. That's a lot.
And then he referenced, well, I saw, what did he say? He said he saw Mercer County play St. Joe Ogden in the summer.
In the summer. Yeah.
So that's a dude that loves hoop. But anyway, 80 games. I think even the height of my days of broadcasting games, I don't think I did 80 games in a season. You think you'll be close to 80?
We do right around 80 normally a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, well, that's not all.
So it'll be 76.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have a couple of dueling regional championship broadcasts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
hopefully
to that.
And hopefully maybe we have, you know, I mean, hoping three teams at the sectional level. If we can get two of our 2A schools in Orion there, that'd be pretty cool.
I think there's a distinct possibility that's going to happen.
Right. So, but yeah, that's it's.
But 80 games is a lot. And again, to talk about what he's doing, he's not an employee doing that. Like, he's not working for a media entity. Right. Nesto Hoops is just Aaron Britton doing this as a labor of love. So
and it's important to know, too, and we talked about this already, but it's not just, like, one area. He's
covered the entire state. Yeah.
He goes from the, you know, top of the state at the Chicagoland area all the way down to the deep, deep, deep south. He talked about going to Benton.
So, and that's one of the things that I've always wanted to do before my career wraps up is I'd like to go kind of to deep southern Illinois one winter and watch five or six basketball games. Like, I'd like to go to Goreville because, I mean, since the four-class system, they win every year. And then, you know, the history of kind of Lawrenceville, they're ranked number one. Just in some of those – and what is it? Like, I see the one school that always stands out to me here in the four-class system now is it's Weber, and the name of the town is Bluford.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, they're
so
good this year.
And when you look on the map, you're like, man, some of those schools are so small. And that's what I love about basketball because, like I said – most of the 800-some-odd member schools have a basketball team.
You know who's good to talk to about the deep southern portion of Illinois is Jordan Harris.
Oh, that's right, because he's a graduate of Alton Marquette.
Yeah, he can tell some stories about the area down there. One of the days last year, I think, when we were at a shootout and there was some time, he was telling me some stories about just some of the towns down there and just how crazy it is. You know, how – I mean, we talked about that when we had the Mounds Meridian coach on when we were at State a couple years ago when they got down there, how kind of like on an island every town is by itself, just kind of how deserted like some of those areas are. So yeah, very interesting when you talk about the geographic, you know, kind of splits in the state. I wanted to mention this about the game last night. So it wasn't really a great crowd at Mercer County because of the weather, and like I already said, there was no band and anything. So on the visitor side, there was one person sitting in the very front row right at midcourt, and that was Chip Filler, who, of course, is there with his son, Cale, who's a senior for Orion. And he was sitting there, you know, being just, you know, a fan, clapping when the Charger would score. And I think it was right at the beginning of the second quarter. I had just mentioned on the air that he was sitting in the very front row, and he was the only person in the front row on the visitor side. And then literally we come back from break, and we're getting ready to start the second quarter, and the one official told him he had to move up to the second row.
Who was that crew last night?
I forget what their names were, but it was funny,
and
man.
And then if he wouldn't have done that, he would have been ejected, and he would have had to watch the game from Fenton Park.
Yeah, like, when it was 30 below zero outside. Yeah, so I just thought that was pretty funny, seeing them move the one person in the front row up to the second row. He wasn't doing anything. He was just sitting there, but I think that Coach Filler told me that the official told him that he was worried he was going to trip him.
Well, and I guess that is a rule then, right? You can't sit in the first row?
No, that's not a rule.
Oh, because I know, like, at volleyball, I've noticed sometimes they said, well, you can't sit in the
last week when Sherrard played at Mercer County, it was, I mean, packed. People had to sit in the first row.
Well, yeah, I know the Sherrard games on the one side, there's always people sitting in the...
It's Jansen Bender's spot.
Sergio McClain was sitting in the front row there.
Jansen and Sergio, classic moment. Other note, I don't know if we talked about this yet, Newman boys basketball coach Ray Sharp won his 400th career game this past week. Congratulations to Tim, that's quite a number, 400. That's a lot of winning.
Well, and I'm bummed because Nesto mentioned it, and I really thought over Christmas one of the games I would be broadcasting because of our, you know, how our coverage was set up. I really thought that Orion Newman would be one of our broadcasts, and I was really kind of looking forward to that because, you know, they're unbeaten as we talk today.
They're 22-0 right now,
and I haven't had a chance to see them in person, but. You know, it's interesting because that part of the state with you know, NUIC becoming a much better basketball school, too, kind of to see their road
in 1A basketball and some of the gyms they'll play at. So I think there's some great storylines as, you know, postseason gets underway.
Absolutely. So again, our broadcast schedule this coming week, Sherrard hosting Alleman girls basketball Monday, Tuesday boys with Rock Ridge at Sherrard, Thursday girls Sherrard at Riverdale, Friday boys Sherrard at Orion. Those are four fun games to cover this
those
week.
Those are some good games this week, no question about that. All of them, I think.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I mean, like the Sherrard-Rock Ridge games are always fun, even though I know the Rockets, as we talked about earlier, are struggling a little bit this season, but I'm sure they'll be up to play.
Maybe we can get Glenn Cook to get out and go to that game.
And maybe he'll come over to Harry Hunt Gym. I haven't seen him out much this year. I don't think I've been over to Rock Ridge yet this year, which is crazy.
And we do – what time is the Illini game today? They play
2 o'clock
Boilers.
Tip.
And that game's in West Lafayette.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be a marquee matchup on the Big Ten today.
That should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that this afternoon. So anything else you want to mention before we close Sportsline on January the 24th? Again, everybody, it's Jim Taylor's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, got a lot going on this weekend. So get out and enjoy, I know the Orion Bob Mitten invite taking place today. Normally the championship round starts, I think, early in the afternoon.
They said they're targeting noon to start the championship round today, so about an hour and a half away.
And I think they do a grand march, and I think my first cousin is involved with audiovisual over there, a great friend of the wrestling family, the great Jeff Francis, helping out Bob Mitten and Dan Diamond, all the great people over at Orion.
Thank you to Aaron Britton, Nesta Hoops, for joining us on Sportsline this week. It was a great talk.
Amen, and I know we'll see Aaron Britton, I know probably state tournament weekend. Are we going to be doing Sportsline from, or did they cancel that? Is WRMJ not going to let us do that?
I'm planning on doing it still, so hopefully that it doesn't get canceled for us. Eric Hutchins is on board, though. So.
All right, that'll be fun. Be nice to see if a local team's down there this year, too. Right,
this
be awesome.
Has been Sportsline from live inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. On a Saturday morning for Jim Taylor, I'm Ty Taylor. Appreciate you tuning into Sportsline this week.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business. By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.